This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Is artificial intelligence without sufficient guardrails, like a child's car seat without sufficient padding, a product dangerous to consumers? I'm David Brancaccio. The Federal Trade Commission has opened an investigation into whether OpenAI, maker of ChatGPT, has violated the law by harming consumers. The agency's looking into the company's security practices, as well as people getting hurt when AI spreads false information about them. Regulatory bodies elsewhere are watching artificial intelligence as well, including in China, where new rules are expected to go into effect next month. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
Companies are competing for their AIs to be fast and smart. And
whether they're safe is also a value, but it's not the overriding one.
Dan Hendricks directs the Center for AI Safety. He also advises Elon Musk's brand new company, xAI. He says more laws are needed to force companies to slow down. So
if an AI developer's AI causes substantial harm, then the AI developer is responsible.
Many AI bills have been introduced in Congress, and federal agencies are enforcing existing laws around how the tech is used. Meanwhile, Samir Jain at the Center for Democracy and Technology expects countries to collaborate on compatible global standards.
We do need to get on it. AI is already being used to mediate access to economic opportunities like credit, housing, and employment.
There's that saying, safety rules are written in blood. We don't want that, and we don't want them to be written by a computer, either. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Today, we're also looking into the ways that scammers can use AI to clone your voice to scam loved ones. For protection, we all may need to set up a security phrase the AI doesn't know. Now, we cloned me, and you can hear it's not perfect, but probably good enough. That's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air today. Quarterly results from J.P. Morgan Chase are out this morning. The biggest bank in the country saw its profit jump 67% as spring turned into summer. Thanks to higher interest rates, it could charge borrowers. Stocks up 2.5% pre-market. Profits at the biggest of investment managers, BlackRock, went up 25% last quarter as more people move money back into markets. The bank results will keep coming, covering a quarter that saw three regional banks collapse. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Think of bank results like a thermometer for the economy. Regional banks for local economies and big banks?
They're effectively a thermometer of the U.S. economy.
Nathan Stovall at S&P Global Market Intelligence says there are a few main things he'll be looking at as banks start reporting results, including what's going on with deposits and with loan portfolios.
Are they becoming less willing to lend? Is it business as usual? Are they preparing for stress? Are they clamoring for more deposits?
All of that, he says, can tell us a lot. Stephen Kelly at the Yale Program on Financial Stability says these second quarter results should be especially interesting because the bank crisis started near the end of the first quarter.
So it was hard to see exactly all those effects play out from just Q1. So we'll see a full quarter of sort of post-crisis bank activity, and that will give us a good sense of how things have changed inside banks since then.
How they're doing financially, and also how they're reading the economy. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. there is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the pandemic, public health organizations, hospitals, and pharmaceutical companies face lawsuits over everything from treatment decisions to COVID mandates. Those lawsuits are not going away. Some public health advocates worry the suits could erode health protections and spread false ideas about vaccines. From time to time, we work with KFF Health News, a nonprofit newsroom covering healthcare issues. Darius Tahir reports.
An unusual group of lawyers gathered in Atlanta this March. They were brainstorming potential litigation about the COVID crisis. The conference was promoted in online ads.
Attention Atlanta lawyers. Are you ready to be a part of the fastest growing field of litigation? According to Rolling Stone magazine,
250 people attended. They were exploring new legal terrain.
This field is bigger than big tobacco and asbestos combined.
They were lawyers looking to sue public health agencies, hospitals, and pharmaceutical companies for everything from negligent care to alleged vaccine injuries. Steve Kirsch is a wealthy tech executive who organized the conference because he questions COVID policies.
I hope that the lawyers are successful in getting large settlements because it will incentivize other lawyers.
New York attorney Stephen Warshawski was also there. His specialty is helping employees get exemptions from vaccine mandates. At the conference, he found a community of like-minded lawyers battling public health recommendations.
You're fighting back. You're pushing back, right? You're pushing back against the quote-unquote mainstream.
But for many public health advocates, that pushback is a distressing trend, including Lawrence Gostin, a public health law professor at Georgetown University.
Ground zero in the culture wars have been the COVID vaccine and vaccine mandates in particular.
He worries COVID lawsuits will chip away at the systems protecting the public from disease. And in fact, government agencies have withdrawn public health policies like vaccine or mask mandates under legal scrutiny. And public health experts say even when a lawsuit fails, there's often a lot of publicity and media attention. That alone can spread vaccine skepticism and anti-public health beliefs. Plus, Gostin says these lawsuits could force providers to prescribe medications they don't want to.
Judges have forced hospitals to administer bogus treatments like ivermectin.
And Gostin says providers may get hauled in front of a judge when their clinical judgment is questioned. In Washington, D.C., I'm Darius Tahir.
This story was produced in collaboration with our partner, KFF Health News. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.